Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
We read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, Chapter 8. Text 10 is written on the board. Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ki Jai. Shri Shikorani Thai Ki Jai. Shri Radha Landanishwara Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Please repeat. More nama nile sabha loka habe nasha.
More nama nile sabha loka habe nasha.
Iti lage kripadra prabhu karila sanyasa.
Iti lage kripadra prabhu karila sanyasa.
More nama. More.
More.
Unto me.
Unto me.
Na,
na,
without,
without.
Money lay,
money lay.
Accepting,
accepting.
Sabha,
sabha.
All,
all.
Loka,
loka.
People in general,
people in general.
Habe,
habe.
Will go,
will go.
Nasha,
nasha.
Destruction,
destruction.
Iti,
iti,
for this,
for this.
Lagi,
lagi,
for the reason of,
for the reason of.
Kripa Ardra,
Kripa Ardra.
All merciful,
all merciful.
Prabhu,
Prabhu.
Lord Chaitanya,
Lord Chaitanya.
Karila,
Karila.
Accepted,
accepted.
Sannyasa,
sannyasa.
The sannyasa order.
The sannyasa order.
Translation. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, unless people accept me, they will all be destroyed. Thus the merciful Lord accepted the sannyasa order. Please repeat. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought.
Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought.
Unless people accept me,
unless people accept me,
they will all be destroyed.
They will all be destroyed.
Thus the merciful Lord,
thus the merciful Lord,
accepted the sannyas order.
Accepted the sannyas order.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Srimad Bhagavatam 12.3.51 it is said, Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Paramvrajat. simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra or Lord Krishna's name, one is liberated and goes back home, back to Godhead. This Krishna consciousness must be achieved through the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One cannot be complete in Krishna consciousness unless he accepts Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates as the only means for success. It is because of these considerations that the Lord accepted sannyas, for thus people would offer him respect and very quickly come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Since Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself, inaugurated the Krishna consciousness movement, without his mercy, one cannot be elevated to the transcendental platform of Krishna consciousness. Translation again. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, unless people accept me, they will all be destroyed. Thus the merciful Lord accepted the sannyas order. We have gathered on a most sacred and significant occasion, the 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya's sannyas. In this section of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada, following Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, explains why the Lord took sannyas. Earlier in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains that Lord Chaitanya appeared for two reasons, an external reason and an internal reason. The external reason was to propagate the Yuga Dharma of Harinam Sankirtan, and the external reason was to personally relish the mellows of pure love and to inspire others to relish such mellows. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vrijat. Maharaj Parikshit was very concerned about the fallen condition of people in the present age of Kali, and Shukadev Goswami reassured him, Kalo Doshanidhi Rajan, that although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, Srila Prabhupada gives the example that if someone has a sore, he can put some ointment on the sore. But if your whole body is sore, you have to cover your whole body with ointment. So he was saying that Kali Yuga, it's not that there's one or two faults, there's a whole ocean of faults. Each and every one of us is filled with faults. And the only solution, but this is what Sukadeva Goswami said, Kalo dosani di rajan asti heko mahaguna. But in this terrible age of Kali, there is one good quality. And what is that? Kirtana deva krishnasya, by performing Krishna kirtan. Mukta sangha, one becomes liberated from material association, bondage, haram bridget, and one achieves the supreme destination. So it sounds easy. All we have to do is chant the holy name of Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada explains that one can chant the holy name of Krishna and develop Krishna consciousness only by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, if anyone does not respect Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and get his mercy, he will be destroyed. How will he be destroyed? We are all being destroyed by the repetition of birth and death. The only way not to be destroyed is to chant the holy name of Krishna, develop Krishna consciousness, and go back home, back to Godhead. But that is possible only by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And therefore it is imperative that everyone receive the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, there was an incident leading up to Lord Chaitanya's decision to take sannyas. Lord Chaitanya had been a Sanskrit teacher in Navadvip, and one day when he was deep in the mood of the gopis, in his internal mood, he was chanting the names of the gopis. And he had some impudent students. It happens with Brahmins. I mean, it happens with every condition, so, but it happens with Brahmins that they become proud. That's the typical fault of Brahmins. They become proud of their knowledge, of their good qualities. So Lord Chaitanya had an impudent student who was so foolish, so proud and foolish, that he dared to criticize the Lord. He said, "Why are you chanting gopi, 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 gopi? Where in the scripture does it say that you should chant gopi, gopi, or the names of the gopis? You should chant the name of Krishna." And Lord Chaitanya, in his internal mood, was not happy with the instruction that that impudent student offered him. And he rebuked him and took up a stick and said, "Get out of here, you rascal." And that impudent student went all over Navadvip, criticizing the Lord, saying, "I'm a Brahmin." And the Lord was so, of course he didn't say the Lord, and Nimai Pandit was so impudent that he dared to rebuke me. And he took up a stick against me. And he and the impudent student created a big agitation and rallied other Brahmins to support him against Nimai. So Lord Chaitanya thought that these people are all going to be ruined. They're all going to be ruined because of their offenses. And he was thinking, how can I save them from offenses? How can I deliver them from the material miseries? And after considering deeply, he concluded, "I will take sannyas." Because in India, even today, people offer respect to sannyasis. In the previous verses, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, "Purveyai chajara sandi adiraja gana veda dharma kari kari vishnura pujana." Formerly, kings like Jarasandha, the father-in-law of Kamsa, strictly followed the Vedic rituals, thus worshipping Lord Vishnu. Krishna nahi mane tate daitya kari mani, chaitanya manile taiche daitya tare jane. One who does not accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is certainly a demon. Similarly, anyone who does not accept Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Krishna, the same Supreme Lord, is also to be considered a demon. Now, Jarasandha worshipped Lord Vishnu and followed the Vedic principles. But because he did not accept Krishna, rather he opposed Krishna, he was considered a demon. Now, Krishna himself appeared as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his original form. And still, people could not accept him or recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya is the same Krishna, but he didn't even appear as Krishna. He appeared as a devotee of Krishna. So how much more difficult would it be for ordinary people to realize that he's Krishna, when even great kings who are devotees of Vishnu and followers of the Vedic principles couldn't even recognize the original Krishna? So in order for people to offer him respect and thus become eligible to receive his mercy, Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. And he took sannyas from Keshava Bharati, who was a sannyasi in the Shankara Sampradaya. The Shankara Sampradaya is very prominent in India. It was very prominent in India. And although there's a Vaishnav tradition of sannyas, the Mayavad tradition of sannyas is more greatly reputed in India. It was more greatly reputed. The Mayavadi sannyasis are called Ekadandi sannyasis, and the Vaishnav sannyasis are called Tridandi sannyasis. The Mayavadi sannyasis, Danda, consists of one rod or stick, because they believe in oneness and personal monism. And the Vaishnav sannyasi's danda consists of three sticks, therefore they're called Tridandi sannyasis, which indicate that they have dedicated their bodies, words, and minds to the service of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya accepted Ekadandi sannyas from a sannyasi, Keshava Bharati, in the Shankara Sampradaya. But there is a very interesting fact here, which is that in the Mayavad Sampradaya, they consider a sannyasi to be Narayan. They consider a sannyasi to be Narayan. So by accepting Ekadandi sannyas, Lord Chaitanya actually tricked people into worshipping him as Lord Narayan. And he actually is Lord Narayan. He's the origin of Lord Narayan. So he tricked them. But it's really mortifying to have someone respect a jiva as Lord Narayan. Once I visited a wealthy man in New Delhi, the famous Jaipuria family, and as I was leaving, getting into my ambassador car, I guess he was like a family pundit. He approached me and said, "Om Namo Narayan." This is terrible. But that's the Mayavad understanding of a sannyasi, that he's become Narayan. They worship him, Om Namo Narayan. There is a book that Srila Prabhupada mentions in a purport in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita called Prem Vilas, written by a devotee named Nityananda Das, who is a disciple of Janava Mata. And Prem Vilas records a very confidential discussion between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lokanath Goswami. And in this discussion, Lord Chaitanya reveals his deep unhappiness to Lokanatha Goswami. And he says that one reason for his unhappiness is that the caste Brahmins are being offensive. They are not respecting him. And because the sannyas order, sannyasi is considered the guru of all other orders. Lord Chaitanya considered that if he accepted the renounced order of sannyas, these Brahmins, who were being ruined by their offenses, would respect him. And thus they would have a chance to be delivered. So 500 years ago, in this exact period of time, Lord Chaitanya left home and took sannyas. According to some authorities, he decided to leave home on January 14th, which was yesterday. January 14th is a very interesting date. It's the date of Makara Sankranti, the Ganga Sagara Mela, and it's always on January 14th. Other dates vary. There's a difference between the date and the Vaishnav calendar, lunar calendar, and the date and the Gregorian calendar, solar calendar. And he actually received sannyas on January 18th, which is Monday. So we're right in this period. And Lord Chaitanya traveled by foot to Katwa to meet Keshava Bharati, who in Chaitanya Bhagavat is described as the best of sannyasis. Now, Lord Nimai Pandit was only 24 years old, and he was extraordinarily handsome. And when Keshava Bharati, and when he approached Keshava Bharati for sannyas, Keshava Bharati began to tremble. And he thought, I cannot give him sannyas. He's so handsome and so youthful. How will he be able to maintain sannyas? And he's never known any suffering or any discomfort in his life. How will he endure sannyas? So just then, Nityananda Prabhu, Chandrasekhar Acharya, and other devotees from Navadvip, who had understood that Nimai had left home to take sannyas, they also arrived in Katwa. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu greeted them and said, "It is very good that you have come here." And in the meantime, Keshava Bharati had an idea to escape the predicament that he was in. And he told Nimai Pandit that he should go back to Navadvipa, take permission from his wife, take permission from his mother, take permission from the other devotees, and after obtaining their permission, come back. And Keshava Bharati thought that as soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu leaves, he will run away to some other place and Nimai will never find him. So Nimai fell at Keshava Bharati's feet and said, "Master, I beg you, please give me sannyas. I will do what you say. If you want me to go back to Navadvipa and take permission from my mother and wife and others, I will do as you say. But without your mercy, I cannot attain the perfection of my life. I cannot attain Krishna. So please be merciful to me." And saying that, Lord Chaitanya stood up and, having said he cannot attain Krishna, he entered the mood of being Krishna, and he assumed the Tribhunga form, and he began to roar like a lion and call the name of Vrindavan and Govardhan Hill and dance in ecstasy. And in this mood, he left for Navadvipa. Now, when Keshava Bharati saw this revelation of Lord Chaitanya's mood, he considered that Nimai is no ordinary young man. He is Krishna himself. He is the guru of all gurus. So he thought, "I cannot escape him. All the universes are coming out of the pores of his body. He's everywhere. He's in every atom and between every atom. His eyes and ears and arms and legs are everywhere. How will I escape him?" And he thought, "It is not possible." So then he called Nimai back and had a frank talk with him. He said, "I know who you are. You are Krishna himself. You're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are the guru of all gurus. So how can I become your guru? It is not possible. So please excuse me." Chaitanya fell at his feet, begged him to give him sannyas. And then he did another trick. He said that I had a dream in which a sannyasi gave me the sannyas mantra. And I want to know if the mantra that I received in the dream is real. And then he uttered the sannyas mantra into the ear of Keshava Bharati and thus initiated him. And Keshava Bharati, because the Lord is in the heart, Keshava Bharati got the inspiration to understand what was happening. That although Keshava Bharati was initiated in the Mayavad Sampradaya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu initiated him into the Vaishnava Sampradaya. And he understood that this was the Lord's desire for his pastimes, that he should accept sannyas from Keshava Bharati. And so Keshava Bharati, now being initiated as a Vaishnav, surrendered to the will of the Lord and played his part in the Lord's pastime of sannyas. When he agreed to give Chaitanya sannyas, Chaitanya began to dance in ecstasy. He inaugurated a huge Harinam Sankirtan. And Keshava Bharati and Lord Chaitanya danced together in ecstasy in Kirtan. And Keshava Bharati felt that by this kirtan, by this ecstatic chanting and dancing with the Lord, he was being purified from all the offenses and contamination of his previous Mayavad conceptions. And he was being enabled by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to attain the actual goal of life, pure love for Krishna. And so he became a Vaishnava, he became an ecstatic lover of Krishna, and playing his part in the Lord's pastimes, he awarded the renounced order to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there's so many pastimes. In fact, from then on, in one sense, all of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes are sannyas pastimes. But in particular, as he was walking, in brief, Lord Nityananda took his sannyas danda, eka danda, and broke it into three pieces, indicating that Lord Chaitanya was not an eka dandi sannyasi, but he was actually a tridandi sannyasi. But he also broke it into three pieces because he thought, Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Why should he take sannyas? What does he have to do with sannyas? He broke the danda into three pieces. Now, although Lord Chaitanya accepted outwardly eka dandi sannyas in the Mayavad Sampradaya, he instructed people in the true understanding of sannyas. Later, when Lord Chaitanya visited Vrindavan, his assistant, his servant, Balabhadra Bhattacharya, approached him. And he said that people are saying that Krishna has appeared in Vrindavan, and that every night at Kaliya Daha he dances on the hoods of Kaliya. So everyone is going to see Krishna, and I also want to go and see him. Can you give me your permission? Lord Chaitanya said, yes, but not today. Not today, you can go tomorrow. Later in the day, one man came to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he told him that ignorant people are saying that Krishna has appeared and that he's dancing on the hoods of Kaliya at night. Actually, it is not so. What happens is, every night a fisherman goes out in his boat to fish. And these foolish people, they see the dim image in the distance. They think the boat is Kaliya. And they think that the fisherman's lantern is the jewels on the hoods of Kaliya. And they think the fisherman is Krishna. So he disclosed the real fact to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the presence of Balabhadra Bhattacharya. But you can see Balabhadra Bhattacharya was Lord Chaitanya's personal assistant. He was with Krishna himself, but he couldn't recognize him. And he was looking for another Krishna who wasn't Krishna. So, in the meantime, people came to him, sort of, you know, ignorant people, who were thinking that they were seeing Krishna, came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, so, you all were thinking you were seeing Krishna? He said, well, now we are seeing Krishna, because we're seeing you, and you are a sannyasi. Om Namo Narayan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blocked his ears. He shouted, Vishnu, 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 Vishnu. He could not tolerate the blasphemy. Of course, he is Vishnu. He is Lord Narayan. But he was playing the part of an ordinary sannyasi. So he blocked his ears and cried out the holy name of Vishnu. And then he explained the proper understanding of sannyas. That a sannyasi is also a jiva. The jivas are part and parcel of Krishna. They can never be equal to Krishna. Krishna is Sadaishwarya Purna, full in the six opulences. And it is an offense to compare an ordinary living entity with the Supreme Lord. And he said the Supreme Lord is like the sun, and the living entities are like the tiny molecules of the sun's rays. Krishna is like the original fire, and the living entities are like fragmental sparks of the original fire. So, although Lord Chaitanya accepted Ekadandi Sannyas for the sake of convention, because Ekadandi Sannyas was considered the main form of sannyas, to get people to respect him and be eligible to receive his mercy and become Krishna conscious. He never accepted the blasphemy of an ordinary living entity being equated to the Supreme Lord, and he always presented the proper siddhanta. So, in brief, this is the external reason why Lord Chaitanya accepted sannyas. But as I mentioned earlier, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that the Lord had his external reasons for his appearance and he had his internal reasons. Now, what were his internal reasons for accepting sannyas? This is a very confidential mystery. It is a well-known fact that Krishna is conquered by the love of his devotees. He comes under the control of the love of his devotees. Now, who could love Lord Chaitanya more than the devotees in Navadvip? His loving mother, Sachi, his obedient wife, Vishnupriya, his childhood friends, his elders. Who could love him more than them? And all the Panchatattva were there. Nityananda Prabhu was there. Advaita was there. Gadadhar Pandit was there. Srivas Thakur was there. Everyone was in Navadvipa. How could he, who is conquered by love, who is subdued by love, break away from the ropes of the love of his most loving devotees? This is a great mystery. So, part of the solution to this mystery is given in the same book, Prem Vilas. In Prem Vilas, Lord Chaitanya tells Lokanath Goswami that I am very, very unhappy. I am very unhappy because of the Brahmins who are offensive and are being ruined. But I'm deeply unhappy because I have a debt to pay and I am unable to repay this debt. And he was referring to the debt that he felt towards Srimati Radharani. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yeyatam mam prapadyante tamstatai bhajami, that is, as one approaches me, or as one surrenders to me, I reciprocate accordingly. But Krishna's promise to reciprocate his devotee's love was broken by Srimati Radharani. Because after Krishna left the Rasa dance and was later reunited with Srimati Radharani and the other gopis, there was some discussion about different types of lovers. One category reciprocates the love that he receives, sort of like a businessman. You give me affection, you show affection to me, so I show affection to you, like a businessman. Because I want to keep enjoying your affection, so I calculate I have to show you some affection, otherwise you might stop showing me affection. So it's sort of quid pro quo, like tit for tat. Krishna says that is not the path of love or the path of dharma. It is simply business. In the second category, the person is affectionate even towards those who are not affectionate towards him. And in this category, there are two subdivisions. Those who are naturally affectionate, like parents, towards their children, and those who are merciful. Those who are merciful refers to Vaishnavas. They're merciful even to those who are not affectionate towards them. Like Nityananda Prabhu with Jagai and Madhai. Jagai and Madhai were completely offensive towards Nityananda Prabhu. Not only did they blaspheme him, but they became physically violent, but still he was merciful. He delivered them. And then the third category, whether you are affectionate towards him or not, he doesn't reciprocate. And therefore, divisions in that category. In other words, you may be affectionate to me, but I don't reciprocate. So if I'm not going to reciprocate the affection of those who love me, what to speak of those who don't love me, who are indifferent to me or inimical to me. So he doesn't reciprocate with anyone. And in that there are four divisions. One is Atmarama. He's self-satisfied. He doesn't care for the world because he gets his pleasure within. And the next category is Aptakama. He has desires, but his desires are already fulfilled. So there's no reason for him to interact with you because his desires are already filled. It's like someone does get hungry, but after he's had a full meal, he's not hungry anymore. So he has no interest in food because his desires are already satisfied. And then the next category is akritigya, ungrateful. You are kind to the person, but the person is ungrateful. He doesn't appreciate your kindness or reciprocate your kindness. So the gopis were thinking Krishna falls in that category because he had played on his flute. That means he had some desire. He wanted to meet with them. And they left everything, their husbands, their elders, their children. They left everything to meet him. So he was an Atmarama. He had desires. And he was an Aptakama. His desires weren't fulfilled, and that's why he called them. But after they came, leaving everything for his sake, for the sake of his service, he didn't reciprocate. He left them. So they were thinking he's akritigya. He's ungrateful. But they didn't want to say it themselves. They're so intelligent and tactful. They didn't want to say, "Oh Krishna, you're ungrateful." They very intelligently asked him to describe these different types of lovers and say which is best. And then the fourth is Guru Druhi. That means one who's envious of the guru or a superior. And again, there's different categories of those. Guru Druhi. But Krishna said that actually I don't come in any of these categories. Although when I disappeared from the Rasa dance, I seemed to be neglecting you, but actually I was not neglecting you. I was with you all the time. And the only reason I removed myself from your vision was because I wanted your love for me to increase. And Krishna gives the example that a poor man, after much endeavor, will get some money. But he may take the money for granted once he gets it. But then if he loses the money, he'll be thinking of it all the time. He won't be able to think of anything else. He'll just be thinking, what happened to my money? How can I get my money back? Sometimes it happens with devotees, with their chanting beads. They take their chanting beads for granted, and then suddenly they can't find them. Where did I leave them? Where are they? Did I lose them? Then they're thinking all the time, where are my chanting beads? Where are my chanting beads? How can I get my chanting beads back? So Krishna said that I know that your heart's inner desire is for you to increase in your love for me. So I removed myself from your vision to fulfill your heart's desire for your love for me to increase. So I was reciprocating your love. But actually, what Krishna said was not true. Because the gopis' love for him was naturally increasing. It's like Vedanta Sutra says about Brahman, it's unlimited and always increasing. So the gopis' love was like that. It was unlimited and always increasing. There was nothing he had to do to make it increase. So that was not the real reason. That could be true of ordinary devotees. That example of a man working hard to amass some wealth, and then when he loses the wealth, he thinks of the wealth all the time. But that's not the case of the gopis. So, what is the fact? The fact is that Krishna could not reciprocate their love. And in the end, he admitted his defeat. Napareham Aravidya Samhita. And he said to the gopis that, I cannot repay my debt to you even if I had the prolonged life of Brahma. You know, you have given up all family connections, which are very difficult to break. You have forsaken the path of chastity and Vedic principles, which for a chaste person is worse than giving up her life. You have done all of this for me, but I could not do that for you. Your love for me was ekanishta, fixed only on one point, on me. But my love is bahunishta. You gave up everything and everyone for me. But I could not do that. I would sneak out at night. No one knew that I was gone. And I would sneak into bed in the morning. No one would know that I was gone. I didn't break my ties with my mother Yashoda or my father Nanda or any of my family members. And besides that, I reciprocate the love of all of my devotees. I love my devotees in Madhurya Ras, I love my devotees in Vatsalya Ras, I love my devotees in Sakya Ras, in Dasya Ras, even in Shanta Ras. Even sadhakas who have not attained me, but who are just trying to develop love for me, I also reciprocate their affection for me. So, napareyam, it is impossible for me to reciprocate your love for me. So I am in debt to you, and I cannot repay my debt to you. So Lord Chaitanya told Lokanath Goswami that I was unable to reciprocate Srimati Radharani's love for me. And I have a great debt to repay, but I am unable to repay it. And this is causing me great pain. And then he said, the only way that I can repay my debt to Srimati Radharani and reciprocate her love is if I do what she did. I have to give up my family. I have to leave my home. I have to give up everything and leave everything for her sake. And I will achieve that by taking sannyas. When Krishna was present in Vrindavan, everyone knows Krishna is Shyam, bluish black. And Srimati Radharani would always wear a blue sari, which would remind her of Krishna. But after Krishna left Vrindavan, she would wear a saffron-colored sari in the mood of separation from Krishna. She would consider herself a maidservant of Krishna. So Krishna thought, I will wear the saffron-colored cloth of separation. And the main thing because Srimati Radharani and the gopis glorified Krishna as the supreme, well, as Rasara, the supreme reservoir of pleasure. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, that I have to proclaim the glories of Srimati Radharani. And I will do that by accepting her mood in separation. And explaining her glories. Now Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but he came to teach by his own example how to love Krishna, how to serve Krishna, and how to love Krishna. And he showed that externally by Harinam Sankirtan, and internally in this mood of separation. And specifically the mood of Radharani in separation from Krishna. So that all devotees could learn this process. Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that after Krishna left, after manifesting his pastimes 5,000 years ago, he thought, I did everything. Parichanaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam. I delivered the devotees. I annihilated the miscreants. Dharma samsthapanarthaya. I reestablished religious principles. I did everything. But the main thing I didn't do. The main thing was to show people how to love me in the mood of pure devotion, of Raja Bhakti, Kevala Bhakti, in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. The main thing I didn't do. So Krishna thought, I have to come again. And this time, I will give them Raja Bhakti. But not as Krishna, but as a devotee of Krishna. And by following my mode of worship, they will develop pure love in the mood of the residents of Vrindavan. So these are very confidential topics, very deep topics, but they have been revealed to us by our previous acharyas, Rupa Goswami, Of course, what Rupa Goswami revealed about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's inner mood, and what Swarup Damodar Goswami revealed about Lord Chaitanya's inner mood, is all presented to us in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, and explained, the most important, explained to us for our understanding by Srila Prabhupada. So, Tridandi Sannyas in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a very deep thing. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own sannyas is unfathomably deep. But in essence, internally, he's experiencing the mood of Srimati Radharani, separation from Krishna, and trying finally to reciprocate her single-pointed love for him. And all of these truths, we made a distinction between the external and internal, but all of these truths are contained in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and they can be revealed through offenseless, pure chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Which is our main activity. So thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes? What is your name?
Carlos.
Carlos. Carlos.
Thank you for the class. It was very beautiful and very instructive. Also, meditating about how it's very curious that it's described in the Vedas that if one wants to attain like a pure devotee mentality, would have to be in the mood of the gopis and water. Sometimes I ask myself if Krishna was sort of surprised of getting this from women, because they were placed in earth to increase the population more than having like a lead role within, you know, religiosity or, you know, more being like in the kitchen and taking care of the kids more than having like a lead religious or a meditative role. So sometimes I ask myself if this is what actually surprised Krishna. And when you mentioned that he says that he felt like in debt to with Radharani, because maybe the gopis didn't actually mention that he was not didn't have gratitude, but I think Radharani in the pastime of the bumblebee, she probably went forward more than the gopis, and she said to him that he was not he didn't have any gratitude for the rest of the gopi, because he left obviously everything. Well, thank you for the class. Thank you very much. I just kind of link it to the fact that also Srila Prabhupada also opened the doors for women to come inside the temple and to let them advance evenly, you know, with guys. And I some ways sometimes get some sort of feeling that there's about like confusion maybe with, you know, how gender works and how roles go happen in the movement. And I ever wonder, because I really see some really good women devotees who have also been take renunciate, maybe renunciate, and also be, you know, take political initiation, things like this. And I don't know what's your point of view with this.
Well, there's a few points you raised, good points. When Krishna descends, he comes in his original body, which is Satchidananda Vigraha. He doesn't come in a physical material body. You know that?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. Yeah. When Krishna comes, he comes in an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He doesn't come in a physical body made of flesh and blood and bones like you and me. Although he appears to take birth and have a baby's body and a child's body and a youth's body, but he actually has a spiritual body, and the full potencies of Godhead from the very beginning. When he was just days old, he killed a big demon named Putana. When he was 7 years old, he lifted the Govardhan mountain with the little finger of his left hand and held it over his head for 7 days. So people with an ordinary material body cannot do such things. Furthermore, his body never aged beyond 16 years. Although Krishna was manifest on earth for more than 120 years, but his body never aged beyond the appearance of 16 years. When Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, by material calculation, he was over 90 years old. But you never see a picture of Krishna looking like an old man with his face all wrinkled and gray hair and walking with a stick. So although his body resembles a human body, but it's not made of material elements. In the conditioned soul, there's a difference between the material body and the spiritual soul within the body. You understand that? But in the case of Krishna, his body is made of the same spiritual substance as the soul. It's all spiritual.
Question was more in relation to, because he himself said that he can't be paid because all of these.
But
all of these
there are many steps to to the answer to your question, but the first step is to understand that Krishna comes in a spiritual body. Do you understand that now?
Yeah. I know that spiritual platforms, the body is not different from the spiritual body is not different from the so-called material external body.
Yeah. Okay, now. Srimati Radharani is a direct expansion of Krishna. So she also never has a material body. She has a spiritual body just like Krishna. And the principal gopis are direct expansions of Srimati Radharani. They also have spiritual bodies. So we may say that they're women, but they're not women any more than Krishna's a man. They're completely spiritual, but yeah, Krishna's form is like a man, and the gopis' forms are like women, but they're spiritual. They're not the physical bodies of material men and women. Krishna doesn't have our male hormones. The gopis don't have ordinary ladies' hormones. They're not men and women. They don't have men's bodies and women's bodies like ours.
Could we say that he already knew that they were going to do? Because they're more or less in the same platform. And why would he be surprised and felt like he had something in debt? Or that he was in debt to them because they left their physical families and their physical children and their physical duties to come to serve him, and they broke, you know, the injunctions of the Vedic scriptures.
Yeah. That is a very good question. That is a very good question. It is one that has been asked by many learned scholars. And here is the answer from other learned scholars. Krishna has two aspects. One is called Sarvajna, means he's all-knowing. And the other is Mugdha, which means he becomes bewildered. This is only in Rajalila. This is nowhere else that Krishna becomes bewildered. And this is achieved by the agency of Yoga Maya, Krishna's spiritual energy. There's Maha Maya, which bewilders the conditioned souls into forgetfulness of Krishna. And there's Maha Maya, which causes Krishna and the pure residents of Vrindavan to forget that Krishna is God. Because if Yashoda was conscious that Krishna was God, she couldn't feed him. She couldn't chastise him. And Krishna, to reciprocate his devotee's love, also forgets that he's God. And he actually feels hungry for his mother's love. And as we mentioned, Mother Yashoda, well, Mother Yashoda's body is spiritual. So her breasts fill with milk, but that milk is not ordinary milk. That milk is actually prema. So when Krishna becomes hungry for Mother Yashoda's breast milk, he's not exactly hungry for milk, but he's hungry for her love. And in the mood of being Krishna's mother, she is eager to feed him with her breast milk, which is actually her love. But in that mood of parental love under the influence of Yoga Maya, she actually thinks Krishna's hungry. If I don't feed him, he will starve. And also under the influence of Yoga Maya, Krishna forgets that he's God, that he's providing food for all the living entities. And he feels hungry, and he wants to be fed by Mother Yashoda. So that is mugdata, that is Krishna's bewilderment for the sake of his loving pastimes in Vrindavan. And that's only in Vrindavan. Only in Vrindavan. Lord Narayan and Vaikuntha doesn't become bewildered like that. That's only in Vrindavan. But when there's need, Yoga Maya arranges that Krishna remembers that he's God. For example, Kamsa sent demons to Vrindavan. You know any of these pastimes? Sent demons to Vrindavan to set fire. So Krishna's taking the calves to pasture with the cowherd boys, and he's thinking he's an ordinary cowherd boy, and they're also thinking he's an ordinary cowherd boy, and they're friends, and they're wrestling and playing just like equals. And then suddenly there's this huge forest fire threatening to engulf everyone. Now if Krishna remained in forgetfulness of his divine opulences then, what would have happened? Everyone would have been consumed in the forest fire. So Yoga Maya, knowing the purpose of Krishna, allows him to remember that he's God so that he can swallow the whole forest fire and save all the cows and cowherd boys. But then again, when his purpose is fulfilled, she covers him and the cowherd boys with her potency. So they're again thinking, oh, Krishna's our friend. How wonderful he is. He swallowed the forest fire, but he's still our friend. So in his sarvagya aspect, he knows everything. But for the sake of his pastimes in Vrindavan, he becomes enchanted by the love of his devotees, and especially the love of the gopis, and especially the love of Radharani. Any other questions or comments? Yes? What is your name?
My name is Godless. Godless?
Godless?
You mentioned something about the mood in which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Dhanamo. In this one, I see that most of the time we worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of his narrative, Leela. So I wonder why when we worship him, we are not advised to worship him in his, in that mood which he was in Sannyas.
Yes, that is a very good question. Devotees don't like to think about Mahaprabhu's sannyas so much because it's very painful. It's painful because he left his loving devotees in Navadvipa. Painful for them and for him. And it's also painful because he had to accept so many austerities as a sannyasi. And then his there's a whole thing about his shaving his beautiful hair when he took sannyas. His beautiful hair. So it's sort of like Krishna's disappearance pastimes. Devotees don't like to think about it because it's spiritually painful. So in the same way, devotees don't like to think so much about his pastime of accepting sannyas because it's spiritually painful. But that said, it was in the Gambira in Jagannath Puri that Lord Chaitanya revealed his most intimate and intense ecstasies. And devotees who are developing that mood of separation, they relish Chaitanya Charitamrita and the descriptions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's internal moods. But it's still painful. Even the devotees who were with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri found it painful to see him in such separation. Because separation is painful. But on the transcendental platform, on the absolute platform, that pain is ecstasy. Internally, it's ecstasy. But externally, it's agony. So it's a little complex. But yes, when we worship Gaur Nithai, we're worshiping Lord Chaitanya Nityananda Navadvipa, performing Sankirtan. That is, devotees are happy to see Gaur Nithai in Navadvipa, and that's when he propagated the Yuga Dharma of Harinam Sankirtan. He began the Sankirtan movement in Navadvipa, and that's where we begin. We may end up in the Gambira and Jagannath Puri, but we begin in the Sankirtan movement. That would be. Yes?
I had three questions, actually, but I just asked one. If we have more time. the one in the purple, I think some verses after this, Prabhupada is talking about this idea that Lord Chaitanya and Krishna said if somebody worships Krishna but they don't worship Lord Chaitanya, then they're a demon, or if they worship Lord Chaitanya, they don't worship. And he said that this conclusion is a product of Kali Yuga. So I'm wondering now, because I'm quite interested in design, if anything that's a product of the Kali Yuga is intrinsically flawed, if it's possible for there to be any products or services designed in the Kali Yuga that would be less flawed than other systems.
Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Kali Yuga. So, naturally, misunderstanding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's position would arise in Kali Yuga because he appeared in Kali Yuga. But it doesn't mean that everything in Kali Yuga is intrinsically flawed. Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that by mental concoction we say this is good and this is bad. But actually, nothing is good. Everything is bad outside of Krishna consciousness. So if it's in Krishna consciousness, it's good. But if it's outside of Krishna consciousness, it's bad. Like the microphone is a product of Kali Yuga. Whoever invented the microphone never imagined that it would be used for Krishna Katha, or reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, or Chaitanya Charitamrita. But we're using it for that purpose. And so it becomes part of Krishna's paraphernalia. And same thing with so many inventions. I don't even know what this is. When I grew up, we never had these things. But it's being used in Krishna's service, so it's performing a good function. So if your design can be used favorably in Krishna's service, it's good, but we can't just offer something whimsically to Krishna and assume that he'll accept it. So we have to learn what's favorable through parampara, through sadhu, shastra, and guru. Like, I'm just making this up and I don't know what kind of design you do. But like, if you wanted to do some artwork, and instead of using paint and canvas, you decided to use onions and garlic, that might not be favorable. But if you're, you know, acting under superior guidance in a way that's pleasing to Krishna, that's favorable to Krishna's pleasure, then the fact that you're doing it in Kali Yuga is not a problem. Sorry? Well, how do we know if we have time or not? Huh?
Yeah. We usually stop at 8:30.
We usually stop at 8:30. That's nice to know at a quarter to ten. So we will officially end now. And those who have other duties are free. Those who are want to do prasad seva, they are also free. And I'll sit here for a few more minutes. I'll stay on for a while here at the temple, but in the immediate sense, I'll be here for a few minutes if anyone wants to discuss more. And then tomorrow, I think everyone knows, but from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., there's a japa workshop near the manor at the Lechmore Heath Town Hall. But I think you go to the manor to register, and then from there you go to the japa workshop. And then Sunday morning, during the class time, I'll be speaking at the manor. They suggested I speak about Lord Chaitanya's sannyas there. And there's so much. I mean, we discussed a fair amount. We discussed a good amount. There's much more. So we'll probably speak more on the subject Sunday morning. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai.